It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us today is the Vice President of the Los Primos Dallas Nonprofit, Diana Hiera. How you doing, Diana?
Hey, good.
I am so glad you're joining us again because not only do you have this great golf tournament coming up at the end of the month, the Big Swing for the Future golf event. We're going to talk about that, but I want to talk about, more importantly, the great work that Primos Dallas has been doing. You guys are a 501c3 nonprofit mentoring organization that connects Latino youth with professionals. Based out of PG, Pleasant Grove, can you talk about how you guys got started? It was just before the pandemic, and how you've been impacting the community so far.
Yeah, so we started in 2018. Mm-hmm. Basically, it was just, so Primos means cousin in Spanish, right? And it's kind of an organization that was founded based on family values and kind of our experiences that we've had growing up. So when I say we, I'm referring to my cousin. Not really my cousin. We're family friends, grew up together, but we call each other cousin just because we're so close.
Okay.
Her name is Alicia Serrato.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so she's currently the executive director of Primos, but back in 2018, she was like throwing around this idea of starting a nonprofit because she was a teacher and had seen a lot of students like come through her classroom that she kept in touch with. And they had never really had a Latina high school teacher. So that was like such a novelty to them. And she was like, you know, we've already gone through this process of going to high school, graduating, completing our higher education, and then being in a career field. And we struggled because we were the first ones in our family to do it. Our families are from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And why not share all this knowledge that we have with the next generation so they don't have to struggle as hard, give them a leg up that they might not have. And so she was just kind of spitballing this idea and then sent out like a Facebook message to a bunch of friends. And then we all met up one day and just started talking about it and like putting ideas to paper. And then that's kind of was the birth of the organization. It was very small at first. We had maybe like 20 kids, but we grew it as the years went on and we all started learning and meeting new people to help us, partnering with other organizations to learn from them. And here we are today, almost 8 years later, and our latest mentoring class was 85 students. So
wow.
We do one-to-one mentoring. So yeah, 85 kids and 85 adults. We got them paired off this September. It was a couple weeks ago. We had our kickoff event for the new year.
That is fantastic. Diana, Primos is all about family, and I love that. And you're unique with your mentorship program because they're all one-on-one. Can you talk about the philosophy of the one-on-one and the fact that everybody feels like family?
Yeah. So we wanted people to really build that relationship. That mentoring relationship takes a long time to build. It's something that can be done in a couple months. It's a more of a long-term thing. So that's why we really wanted to do it one-on-one. So people understand this is a time commitment for the mentors and the mentees. And have this relationship be a long-term one. And so we are very upfront with our mentors about very robust training and keeping in touch with them and kind of showing them, like, you have to talk to the parents too. Like, it's not just the student. You're kind of becoming a member of their whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, it's kind of our unique angle on it. Like, you're not just meeting in the classroom for an hour. You're going to be going to their home, like learning about their families. Like we had one mentor tell us recently that he was invited to his mentee's parents' wedding recently. And
wow,
he was so honored. And we were like, that's awesome.
That is. That's amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah. And so that's our goal. Like, yes, there is a huge, like, we call it like college career life readiness is kind of the pillars that we focus on. But at the end of the day, all of those things are just part of life. And so we want the mentors to become part of their mentee's life. And that's why in Latino culture, it's primarily Latino, but we have other ethnicities and groups in it. But
oh, so you're multicultural. It's more than Latinos. It's multicultural. Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Very small segment. I mean, the way, because we are in Pleasant Grove, it naturally kind of falls like that.
Yes.
We tell kids, like, if you're like a first gen, like, kid, like your family didn't go beyond high school or even high school, like, yes, come, we will help you. Like, that's kind of the commonality, like someone who needs this guidance to kind of figure out what's going to be life after high school. So we're very open about that. For us, it's more important the geography, because Pleasant Grove is so underserved. We want to be the resource in that part of the community.
That is fantastic. Los Primos Dallas is getting things done. And I also like the fact that you guys have a three-tiered approach. Can you talk about the three tiers? And for those who don't know, it's knowledge, skills, and exposure. Just break it down, Diana, because I know you're doing it well.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the exposure is like our the key theme across everything. Exposure meaning to different careers, to different educational paths, to just different things in life, like networking. You know, that's a skill that applies across the board in anything.
Yes.
And so that's kind of what we honed in on. So we say we are bringing these exposure opportunities to help mentors and their families, because we do events for the parents as well, like helping them understand kind of their student, like, why are they so moody? Or like, what does that mean? Like, it's a hormonal thing. Like, it's the brain development to kind of help parents too with their relationships with their students. But yeah, so exposure is a big key pillar, and that kind of applies across the board of all the things that we do.
What are the age ranges of some of the students?
Yeah, so we're in high school. Most of our students are in high school. And then if they keep on with the program, they can stay with Primos even beyond high school. So we do have a group of maybe, I would say, like a dozen or so students that are in college and they're still in Primos. So we would love for them to stay as long as they want. It's a multi-year program, essentially. So the first year is like very rigid. Like, we have monthly meetings, trainings, and all kinds of things. And after the first year, once they kind of get the ball rolling, like they have a pretty good rhythm, they can just attend events as they want. It's not as mandatory, but most kids and mentors return year over year. Our retention rate is in the 80s. So
oh, wow, that's great.
People come back for multiple years. We try to keep the programming fresh, like do cool things that the kids would be interested to provide more learning opportunities. And, but yeah, we recruit from grades 9. Ideally, they would come in at, before they're a senior, because then it's like harder to kind of help them. But we do take on seniors as well.
You know what's wild, Diana? It's so funny you mentioned about the exposure and networking, because I found out, you know, over the years, and especially with doing this show, especially Gen Z, they love connecting and networking. When you say networking, they're already thinking, oh, they're already thinking content creation. They're also thinking, oh, networking and connecting and getting as many connections as you possibly can, because that helps you grow your brand or be able to develop a career that you really want to do, as opposed to just having a regular old job. Have you found that what you're doing gets a lot of the students excited because they have an opportunity to network? And can you explain some of the networking opportunities that Los Primos offers?
Yeah, so we just had our big, we call it a career exposure fair last weekend.
Okay.
The theme of this, it's kind of like a job fair, except no one's giving jobs out. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not recruiting for jobs. It's an opportunity for students to learn about other industries and career paths from people who do it themselves personally.
The exposure.
So, yeah. So we have people from like a wide range of industries, like traditional things like healthcare and finance, but we also try to bring in people that are in the arts and trades, just a wide variety. And people love attending the fair because they get to talk about their job and how they got into it. And that one is very heavily a people of color crowd. We purposely try to recruit that so the kids can see people who look like themselves.
Exactly.
Doing these awesome things. That's like our tentpole event. It was just passed last weekend. And we opened that to the public. So you don't have to be in Primos to do it. Anybody can attend. As long as you're like a high school, college age student. So that's an example of a big community event we do. We have smaller ones that are just for Primos. Like we did a networking event last spring. And so we invited a bunch of young professionals, like early career, you know, like 25 to 30 year olds.
Sure.
And they did a little presentation to teach the high school kids like how to network, like shake people's hand, look them in the eye, put your name tag on this side, you know, like things like that.
Oh, that's so important.
And I thought, I thought kids were going to be shy, but they loved it. And, you know, a lot of people are come there and they're a little apprehensive. And then by the end, I saw them just like chatting people up, introducing themselves. Like these are such everyday skills that like you don't typically formally get taught. So we're trying to give them a leg up by,
you know, I love them. That. I absolutely love that because a lot of kids want to know what to do because they're, you know, at that age, high school age, everybody wants to make sure they don't do the wrong thing and get bullied or get trolled or made fun of if they kind of stand out the wrong way. So they have an idea and they might have seen it on TV or they might have seen it, you know, in a movie or something, but they don't really know, okay, this is how you approach people. This is how you network. This is how you, you know, you fit in. Because I think a lot of kids that age really want to know how to fit in as well as be themselves. Can you talk about, have you seen them kind of grow and latch on to that?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of times at the beginning of the year, you know, everyone was super shy. And then at our party end of the year celebration that we have, you see kids and they sometimes seem like a completely different person.
Yeah.
Like there is a lot of that, like coming out of your shell that happens just by having someone at your side that is there to support you, you know, like, mentors aren't there to like fix their problems. They're there to be like their peer leader, like their listening partner, like listen to their problems, help them problem solve to figure it out, but guide them along the way. And I think that gives kids a lot of confidence. And I love Gen Z kids, man. They are so like, I'm like this and I don't like, I feel like they have a more blasé attitude about doing what they want to do than like previous generations. And I love seeing that. Like we had like a video content creation event. A friend of ours is a YouTube like producer or whatever, like officially with YouTube. And he was in town and did a workshop and to teach kids how to make professional content with your cell phone. And that one, it attracted such a different crowd of students than we usually see. Like they were so into being artsy and like doing all this stuff, you know, and it's just like, I don't know. You just see them open up and like try new things. And that's what we get a lot of feedback at the end of the year. We do like surveys and they say like that they like trying new things or seeing new things. And then it goes back to the exposure, like something as small as like making a YouTube video, but it's something that they might not have done otherwise.
Exactly. And you got to reach them where they are. And so I really love what you're doing. We're talking to Diana Herrera. She is the vice president of Los Primos Dallas. And I love the fact the way you're mentoring. There's this famous doctor named Dr. Sanjay Gupta, and he actually was talking about how to reach kids. And he said there's a 80-20 ratio. He says, always remember this ratio, 80% listening and 20% talking to them or advising them. But mostly it's the listening to it. And then you find out where they are and then you're able to reach them on their level and help them make the choices that are the better choices. Have you found that to be the success story for your organization, allowing them to express themselves and to listen to what's on their mind?
Oh, definitely. So my counterpart, Alicia, she's been in education most of her career and has done a lot of research on youth mentoring. I think her thesis for her master's was about that topic.
Okay.
And that is what we tell them, like, we're not saviors here. We're like their partner. So mostly like listen to them. And I think that first year of mentoring is always a little bit awkward for the mentors because they feel like they have to constantly be reaching out to their mentees to get them to open up. But that trust takes time. And eventually, I mean, I would tell you some funny stories of people that have had their mentees for multiple years when they're like, oh my God, I got my first time that they told me about like some crush that they have or like some drama in their friend group. Yeah. You know, I'm like, yes, that means you broke through. You're
yes.
In, you know?
Yes. You're a trust partner now. Yeah. They can confide in you. That's excellent. We mentioned, like you said, the three-tiered approach, and we talked about exposure and networking. Talk a little bit about the knowledge and skills part where you're educating them on those things.
Yeah, so the knowledge and skills, it's pretty topical. We kind of take surveys on like what they're interested in learning. So sometimes it'll be like the most popular one this year was they wanted to learn about budgeting. Mm-hmm. Like, how do I manage my money? I was like, wow, you guys are so on top of it. You're like 14 and asking this? Okay.
That's great.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of them see it in their parents, like, oh, I'm going to be working forever like them. Or like, how can I get ahead of myself like with this? So that's an example of one that was kind of crowdsourced, like financial planning, budgeting. They want to know about that. They also want to know like a lot of information about mental wellness, and
right.
health and wellness. Like,
yeah,
it's a very popular topic too. So we'll do things like that. Yeah. So it's like that kind of thing. It's more like broad life skills. It's not like, it doesn't get very technical, but we do a lot of surveying because we want this to be a two-way street. Like, we don't want to just shove all this information down and kids not really like it. So we're very open to asking them, especially the ones that are returning, like, what's something you want to learn, or what's a topic that's not being addressed at school that you would like for us to address, you know?
How hard is it for the mentors to become part of the mentee's family? Because I understand part of the thing on the two-way street is you have a goal for the mentors to get the status of becoming an honorary family member for the mentee. Can you talk about that? Because that sounds so great. So wonderful.
Yeah, it is a challenge. It's probably 50-50. Like,
because it's a trust thing, right? It's a trust thing, right? For the whole family.
Yeah. Some families, like, the parents get it. They're like, okay, this person's here to help my kid. Like, I'm all on board. Some families are like, what? Why is this stranger adult wanting to hang out with my child? Like, so with that half of the group, like, it takes a lot of knowledge. So we started implementing this a couple years ago. We do a parent orientation too. A student, as part of the application process, one of their parents or guardians has to come to the orientation so that we can explain to them what the program is, why it exists, what are the benefits. And we also bring on parents that have been in the program to talk to them one-on-one to kind of build that trust and be like, here's some other families very similar to yours, and this is what they have gotten out of the program. And that helps. That we've learned that was a big help in getting parents on board. And then it's up to the mentees to continue to build out that relationship. The mentors, I mean.
That is fantastic. Primos, you guys are a resource to families, schools, churches, the greater community, right there in Pleasant Grove in East Dallas. Can you talk about the relationship you have with like some of the churches and some of the schools with the mentees?
Yeah, so we partner with several schools to do our recruiting, but right now it's kind of gotten, I'm like, it's escalated on its own. Now
word of mouth.
Students have been involved. Word of mouth is really like, so my background is in advertising. So at first I was like very gung-ho, like, our website needs to be really good. We need to have a lot of social media because no one knew who we were. But now kids recruit each other. It was just awesome. Like, I love when kids sign up and they're like, oh, me and my friend signed up, and we're like, perfect. And then we tell their mentors, like, these kids know each other. So if you need a group, like, this makes it easier to hang out.
Oh, yeah.
So that's been awesome that the kids are interested. This year we opened our applications and had a wait list of like 50 people on it just because we couldn't fill all the spots. Like,
we have
been volunteer based.
Yeah.
So we only do so much. So 85 was kind of our cap for this year. And we filled it so fast that we're like, dang, I wish we had some of that big grant money come through so we could do more programming. But that's it. Hopefully in the near future.
Well, you know what, Diana, you'd be surprised who may be listening to you on this show, because there's all sorts of people who catch this on the radio stations or on the podcast, and they say, you know what, I love what Los Primos is doing in Pleasant Grove, and we want to help them out. You'd be surprised, because you just never know. And I have to say, I'm really, really impressed with what you guys are doing. And I'm really also very impressed that you're, you know, like educators. They don't like an overcrowded room, so you don't want to have too many mentees where you're not able to make an impact and change some lives and affect mm-hmm. things for the good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, definitely. Like that one-on-one, the training
yes.
is like so robust. Like, I don't know. I love it. It's like, I go to the training sessions every year just because we always like try to include new learnings on it and things. And people are like, oh my God, I've never had such a good training. Like, I'm not just tooting my own horn, but like, it is like, mm-hmm. It takes a lot of time commitment. So you're right. Like we're not a numbers game. We're more about like depth versus breadth here.
Exactly. And so talk about how you find the mentors, because they're usually the mentors have something to offer, but more importantly, they really enjoy what they're doing. This is not something that they're forced to do or something that they do on the side just to make ends meet or whatever. No, they're doing this because they love the opportunity and they love the feedback from the kids, right?
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing is that there is a huge population that can relate. Like, they know I struggled so much on my own. Like, mm-hmm. my parents couldn't help me, not because they didn't want to, but they just didn't have that knowledge or experience. Like, they didn't grow up here. They didn't go to school here. Like, I did this on my own. There is a huge population in, like, I don't know, I'm going to say like 25 to 40 years old, maybe even a little bit younger, that can relate really hard to that. And they are very gung-ho about helping other students through that process and alleviate the burden as hard it is for them as it was for them. And every year I'm always like, oh my God, are we going to find enough people? And we do. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of people. And especially there's so many people moving to Dallas nowadays.
Oh yeah.
I find that people find us because they're moving here and they want to build a community. Like, they don't really know people. And because we are so community based and everything, like, I think that's a big thing that attracts people too. They're like, oh, let me meet other like-minded people here. That's been something good for us.
You mentioned like-minded people. I also love the fact that you use focus groups to figure out what the high school students really like or what's on their minds. I like the fact that you have surveys and quizzes. Can you talk about how you guys came up with the concept of let's make this thing work, and we're not just trying to get lucky on ideas. It's like we want to provide the things that they're interested in and also the opportunities that they're interested in. Can you talk about how you came up with let's match these things up the right way with surveys, quizzes, and focus groups?
Ironically, we learned it through a focus group.
I like that.
So at the time when we founded Primo, so Alicia was still working at a high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so she just had access to her students there and told them like, hey, I'm starting this mentoring program. And she just like put it out there if any of the students wanted to join like a focus group to talk about it. And that's where we got a ton of our learnings for how to structure the program. Like, the biggest one immediately was that students didn't want to just be assigned a mentor because it felt so one-sided. Like, here's this person that is going to be your mentor. So as part of the process, we allow the mentees to choose their mentor. We narrow it down based on surveys of interest and things like that. And then we have the mentor film a short, like 90-second video.
Mm-hmm.
And we tell the mentees, these are your top two matches that we think you would do well. Which one do you want? So that way they feel empowered that they had some input in choosing their mentor.
I like
and it wasn't
that.
Just a sign down to them.
Oh, I mm-hmm. like that. You got to highlight again. Say that again. They have an opportunity to help choose their mentor.
Yeah, yeah. The power of choice, you know, it's very strong and it gives them a lot of buy-in. Not that it's a mandatory program, but it makes them more excited. Like, I chose this mentor
mm-hmm.
and the mentors love it. You know, it's great to be filled, yet you're chosen and everyone gets chosen. There's never been an instance where someone didn't get chosen.
So the students get to choose the top two and then you guys figure it out after that. I'm just trying to visualize this process because I'm so impressed with it.
Oh yeah. So we narrow it down. We have our own like matching process mm-hmm. that we do on the back end. That's our proprietary information. But we tell the kids like, here's the top two that we think would be good matches for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they watch the videos of the mentor, like their kind of intro video. And then based on that, the student will choose one or those two.
Mm-hmm. That is just fantastic. Again, I love the entire process. And Los Primos has been around, like you mentioned, since 2018. Did Alicia come up with the whole idea? You said you guys were talking and then all of a sudden, you know, you decided mm-hmm. let's go for it. Was she the main driving force? Because I'm so impressed with this whole concept.
Yeah. So it was, I think, an idea that had always kind of simmered in the back of her head, but had never got executed. And when we were talking at the time, I was kind of going through a career change and was looking for something else to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, hey, I can help with like the business development, operations, marketing side of this. And mm-hmm. you do all the educational stuff, because those are each of our niche strengths, right?
Yeah.
And so along with 6-7 other people, we were kind of the founding members of Primos, and each of us, like one of them's a CPA, so he helped us with the financials. Like someone else had experience in legal. So all together, we kind of got the organization off the ground. But yeah, it was always her initial idea. And then everything just springboarded from there.
Amongst all the different nonprofits in the North Texas area, there's always either a gala or some major fundraiser opportunity. And you guys mm-hmm. are having one at the end of the month on October the 28th, the Swing for the Future Golf Tournament. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because I think that's also an excellent idea, because that's where, you know, a lot of people can meet some of the mentees, meet the mentors, and more importantly, help raise monies and funds and opportunities to volunteer for an excellent cause. Can you talk about the Swing for the Future event?
Yeah, so it's on October 28th. It is a Monday at the Brookhaven Country Club. So we were invited to this by El Chiquilín, the mm-hmm. radio DJ.
Yes.
107.5. Yeah.
Yes, La Grande.
So it was like his idea.
Mm-hmm.
yeah. He had been wanting to do some fundraising for youth-oriented programming in Dallas and found us, and we connected. And so that's how this came about. So we're the benefacting organization for this tournament. I don't know too much about golf, but I know it's like a fool.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. And those that golf, they know yeah. these things. The ones that participate, whether it's a charity event or a celebrity event, mm-hmm. they know exactly what it is. And they just enjoy the opportunity to mix and mingle. And again, you get to meet some of the volunteers. You get to meet some of the people in the organization. And it's all for a worthy cause. So it's going to be fun. I think you guys are going to have a blast.
Yeah, we're excited. We've never done something like this before. So it's new to us, and super exciting to see. I know they still have some spots available. So they're doing teams of four. So if anybody wants to sign up, it's Swing for the Future on Golf Genius. That's like the website that's hosting it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it could be a good time. And hopefully we'll get some good funds from this.
Also, you guys have an excellent website. You know, nowadays, your website is your business card. Nobody really passes out business cards anymore, but they do talk about the website. Or if they hand out a business card, the website is on it. Can you talk about your website a little bit and let everybody know exactly what it is?
Yeah, so our website is losprimosdallas.org. You can find all of the information there. We also have a newsletter that we send out to let you know about our upcoming events, volunteer opportunities. But yeah, Los Primos Dallas, we're also on Instagram, very active on there, and Facebook as well. It's the same tag for everything. We tried to make sure that it was easy to find us. But yeah, our other big event that we have for the year is we do a 5K race in Pleasant Grove at the Trinity Audubon Trail.
Look out. That's
yeah.
beautiful
so that
down
one
there.
It's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
It is so beautiful. And you know, we're very Latino about it. So we do like, we give out food.
You got to do that. Come on now. It's got to be a party. It's a festival.
Games for kids.
Yes.
Yeah. So
and when
we're
is
still
that?
Planning that one out. We don't have the set date. We
okay.
don't have the set date yet. We're waiting for the approval, but it should be in early April.
Oh, that is fantastic. Again, you guys are making so many strides, and I love the opportunity. And I love the fact that you're keeping it right there in Pleasant Grove as it continues to grow, because that's where it started in PG. And I mean, and it's a vibrant community there. One other note about it, I want you to kind of tell people how you get the mentors. Is it at one time of the year, or is it during the year? There are opportunities that are available, because sometimes, you know, different organizations say, well, we're going to do this at the start of the school year in September, or it may be, you're going to do it in May and then we have a summer break. When do you have the opportunity to talk to possible mentors?
Yeah, so right now we do only do it one time a year. We
mm-hmm.
do the mentor recruiting in late summer
mm-hmm.
because we do align with the school year calendar. So
excellent.
we're done for this school year. Yeah, so it's like I would say like August, late July, August is when we recruit the mentors. We do all the training, we get them ready. Once school starts, and we recruit students, and then we do a kickoff in late September. So that way it follows the school calendar.
Love it. It matches things up nicely. And you also mentioned that there is a wait list right now for the mentees, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good problem to have, but it also shows that what you're doing is very successful, and you cannot take that for granted. I mean, it's different if you don't have any mentees to talk to, or you don't have a success rate. Can you talk about the success rate as well? Because that's also very impressive on how, you know, a lot of the different mentees continue to belong in the program. You mentioned some of them wind up going to college. Have you had any mentees actually become a volunteer?
Yes. So our very, very first class of mentees, one of the students, he graduated and he's going to law school. He's currently working at a law firm in Dallas, and he came to the career fair this past weekend with one of his work colleagues to talk about what they do as immigration lawyers. Well, he's not a lawyer yet, but he's working there. And so that was like a very full circle moment, because he was one of our first mentees in high school. Now he's going to law school, working at a law firm. And talking to other kids that, you know, he looks so young. He looks like he's a student attending the fair.
Wow.
But now he's talking to students about what he does.
And see, yeah. That's exactly what it's all about. She is Diana Herrera. She's the vice president of Los Primos Dallas, a nonprofit connecting mentors with mentees in the Latino community. The big event is the golf tournament on the 28th of October at Brookhaven. For more information, go to where?
LosPrimosDallas.org.
There you go. Diana, we got to get you on again real soon. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. I had a great time talking with you.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier, and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
One of my favorite activities ever is the Marco Polo World Foundation annual DFW Dragon Boat Kite and Lantern Festival. And here to join us is my good friend, Alejandra Reyes. She is the Media Relations Director for the Marco Polo World Foundation. Alejandra, I bet it was awesome again this year, wasn't it?
It was a fantastic experience, Chris, and thank you for having me today. We had a phenomenal time. The weather was perfect.
Yes.
The races started at 8 a.m. as every year. Mm-hmm. And we had over 40 participant teams.
That is fantastic.
So you can imagine the type of energy, the fun that all the teams were having as they were getting ready and training and mm-hmm. prepping prior to the competition.
Before we go into all the details and congratulate all the winners, it was the 15th annual. I've been fortunate enough over the years to MC 8 of them, and they are so fantastic on Lake Caroline and Las Colinas and Irving. I mean, the weather was fantastic this past Sunday, and I can imagine the people had a great time. But before we get into that part, I can't stop grinning because you just showed me the picture of the big award. You guys got an award from the President of the United States. Can you talk about this for a minute? I'm so impressed.
Oh, thank you. So, you know, I'm actually very grateful, and it was a great surprise. I have been a member of the Marco Polo World Foundation for over 12 years. And just to tell you a little background, as you know, we promote intercultural understanding
exactly.
and acceptance of diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of our committee members, Chris, and organizers, and we are all from different cultural backgrounds. Anyway, so the day of the festival comes, and I get a letter from the President of the United States.
Yeah.
So, our organization now is an official certifying organization for the President's Volunteer Award. So I'm honored. And I encourage others, you know, to share their passion and to make a difference in the community by joining different organizations. After you reach so many hours of volunteer work in helping the community and making a difference in the nation, your organization can file this paperwork to request this award from the White House.
And it happened. I'm reading what that declaration says on it. It says the President's Volunteer Service Award is presented to Alejandro Reyes, and it says, in recognition and appreciation for your commitment to strengthen our nation and communities through volunteer services 2024. That is so fantastic. Listen to this. That's the round of applause. And I know you're like, oh my goodness. And it happened. The particular weekend it happens on the weekend of the DFW Dragon Boat Racing Club Festival. I mean, this is absolutely amazing. Let me also mention this, because you mentioned the Marco Polo Foundation and the fact that, you know, what the Marco Polo World Foundation is all about is promoting intercultural understanding. And you have so many different things you guys do. It's of course, it's a nonprofit. You got the internships. You got the outreach program. You got the scholarships. You got the Global Glamour Extravaganza. You got the Asian Culture Seminar. And again, the biggest thing is, and it's absolutely amazing, if you've never been out there, you've got to go next year. Anybody that's listening, it's the DFW Dragon Boat Festival, the racing festival, and the kite flying, and all the foods that you have. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. And the weather was so fantastic this past Sunday. It might have been one of the best days ever for the event. Would you agree?
Yes, I do. And next year we plan to host it October 5th. Same location, same times. You know, this is an event that all family members can enjoy. It's free admission. And we have the Dragon Boat Racing. Those are for the ones that like to practice the sport. We also have the Bounce House for the kids. There's music, dance, performers, parades. And, you know, not just that, I want to express our gratitude on behalf of our organization to one, the organizers, the sponsors, our supporters, our volunteers, our vendors, and all of our spectators, you know, because they are the ones to help us by coming together to make this event a success, Chris, year after year, which every year we get more attendees, and I just love it.
Oh, yes, fantastic. We also give a shout out to Diane Wang, because she is the one who started the whole thing. She is absolutely wonderful. And Diane, we cannot do it without you. And for those who are not.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. With her vision and mission of bringing this amazing event, you know, not just that, but her organization too. As you mentioned earlier, we have different programs, Chris. And Marco Polo World, the Dragon Boat Kite and Lantern Festival is one of the events.
Right.
Other event we have is Asian Cultural Seminars. Mm-hmm. So let's say there is an organization, a school, any type of company that may have a diversity inclusion program and they are interested on hosting a seminar, they can find more information on our website and they can set up a time for our organization to attend and educate, you know, their team members or the public. Then we also have the Dragon Boat Racing Club. As you know, this sport has gained popularity over the years. But this is a traditional sport that's been around for over 2,000 years, Chris.
Yes, 2,000 years. It's ancient.
Yes.
And so much fun.
And, you know, now there's festivals that take place globally for the dragon races. In other countries, I was actually talking to someone. He was telling me, Alejandra, in Asia, he's from here, from the United States, but he lives in China. He said, we will practice dragon boating 4 times a week. It's just like a workout for them because it's such a great exercise. And as you know, this is a sporting team that, you know, we have 20 different participants, right? Mm-hmm. You have the drummer that sets the tune And then you have the 20 paddlers, 10 on each side.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has to row in unison, but it's such a, the benefits too, because it's an amazing workout for your
really
core
is.
Muscle.
Yeah, core muscles and cardio.
Yeah, you know, the good thing about it is for any of those that want to practice the sport or want to know more about it, we have the Dragon Boat Racing Club. They can find information on our website too, MarcoPoloWorldFoundation.org. And the racing club activities will begin April 2025. And anybody that wants to attend or get more information about an amazing fashion show with a lot of different Asian costumes, this event takes place August 2nd of 2025. The next one is going to be the festival, October 5th. So we're expecting a very busy year ahead.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be amazing, as it always is. And you guys do such a fantastic job with it. And I'm always impressed with all aspects of what the Marco Polo Foundation does. But the Dragon Boat Festival in itself, it's just so exciting just to watch. And it happens all during the day. Then you have the award ceremony at the end. We're going to name some of the winners in just a little bit here. But like you said, I've been fortunate enough to MC it for like 8 different times. And at one point it was in May. And then, as you know, yeah, over the last few years, the weather in May around here, it was just rainy. All of a sudden May became the rainy season. It's like, oh no, that was really, really tricky. So I'm so glad you were able to find a spot in October to have it, because the weather has just been absolutely amazing. And you know what else? This is low key. It happens that I really, really like about the festival. And again, it's at Lake Caroline, right there in Las Colinas off of Highway 114, you know, in between the airport and getting back into downtown Dallas. You've got the kite flying. There's so many kids flying the kites, and it's just so beautiful, and it's so much wide open spaces. And you mentioned all the dancing, and you also have the mascots. In fact, you sent me a picture of this. I just started smiling. There were people dressed up as panda bears, and they were in their mask.
Yeah.
It was like, it was wonderful. And then you throw in all the different kinds of foods and cuisine. Can you talk about how people who get together and all the different groups to get together with all the different kind of foods? Can you talk about that's on display at the festival?
You know, this year we had some of the featured dishes, I will say, some Chinese food, Thai. We have food from Latin America, Central America, from mm-hmm. El Salvador. That was very popular.
Mm-hmm.
The boba tea. And besides the food, too, the level of support that we get from different consulates.
Oh, yeah.
So when I mentioned that diversity, Chris, I mean diversity across globally.
Yes.
So we had General Counsel from Japan was there. General Counsel mm-hmm. from Mexico,
mm-hmm.
from El Salvador in Central America, mm-hmm. from Canada,
yes.
Peru in South America, Korea, and the Chinese consulate. Some of them are from the Washington offices, and they
wow.
just come here for the weekend to attend our event. And of course, we have the mayor of Irving, which we're very grateful for their support. And mayor of Carrollton,
mm-hmm. There's just so many dignitaries, and I'm always so impressed because the different groups that are participating are first responders, law enforcement, and major corporations as far as having the different boats entered. And it's like, wow, they just get their teams together and they start competing, and it's just so much fun. It's kind of like the Olympics. I kid you not. I was like thinking about the Olympics, you know, they just happened in Paris, and I know they have boat racing competitions in the Olympics as well. And I'm like, this is just so cool. So
it's kind of a similar type of with the
yeah.
difference that this is just a one sport and one day event. But the level of energy that you get when you are there is a similar thing. I have attended the Olympics. I didn't go to the ones in France, but I've been to the ones in China years
mm-hmm.
ago. And
yep.
it was a phenomenal experience.
Yeah, Beijing.
You know what else, Chris? You know what else, too, that our sponsors?
Oh, yeah.
You know, we have, there is a school, it's the International Leadership of Texas School. This is a charter school, and they had some teams that participated because there are three different teams And they are our signature sponsor. So we're very thankful, you know, for their support, also for the Chamber of Commerce in Irvine and the Marriott Hotel in Las Colinas. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the sponsors, our sponsors are so amazing to us. The Bank of America and Goldman Sachs sends us, I don't know, 40, 50, 60 sponsors to volunteers, people to help us throughout the day, because it takes a lot of efforts to put this festival together.
I mean, it's very impressive. And again, it's so diverse. It's got so many different groups. And so many, it's, like I said, it's kind of like an Olympic village. It really, really is. And it's right there in Irving and Lake Caroline in Las Colinas. And it's absolutely beautiful. And it's, everybody's just so happy. And at the end there, you know, I've been fortunate enough, like you said, to MC and host the championship awards. And you got the different categories. You probably have your list in front of me, too. Let's go ahead and congratulate some of these winners. Let's start with the community mixed grand final. The first place, second place, and third place teams are?
The Flying Dragon with the first place, Oceans 21, second place, NAAAP DFW, third place to the winners.
And the Premier Youth Grand Final.
This is for IL, which is the International Leadership Texas School. The IL Texas Houston White won the first place, IL Texas DFW White second place, and IL Texas Houston Maroon third place.
Yes, you got teams from all over the state. I loved it. And the next category, I want to say it's the, is it?
Premier Open Grand Final.
There you go. Go ahead and read that one.
And for this one, we have Hope We Float, Luna Legends, second place, City Draco Fire, third place.
Yes. And then you have the Premier Women Grand Final.
And that was the Dallas United Pink. Woo-hoo! They won again.
Yes, they're pretty competitive, and they are really good. The Community Mixed Club Grand Final. Oh, I already said that. Go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. No, we do have is the community mix too. That was the DUC Delight, Houston Heat, and Austin Coolers. That was the third place.
Yes, I remember those Austin Coolers. They're really, really good, and they come all the way up. They practice a lot down there on Lake Travis. They tell me about that. The Corporate Mixed A Grand Finale or Grand Final.
Grand Final. For this one, we have Santander Dragons. That was the first place. AA Row 1, second place, and Water Dragon, third place.
Nice. And I think there's one more with the first place was the L3 Hydras, second place, the State National Companies, and third place, Fire Dragon. Again, I loved all the competing teams, and they work so hard together, and you have so many different companies, different organizations, different groups. And like you mentioned, there's like 20 on a team, right?
Yes, it's 20 on a team. And sometimes they even have more.
Because they rotate.
They get there early in the morning. Yeah. I will say I usually get there around 7 and they're already setting up. Mm-hmm. So they set up their tents. They're making a fun day. They're training, enjoying the performers, the music, the competitions. And some of the music too, as you know, we have the other stage by the lake as well.
Right.
So then we are playing music in different activities too, so everyone can have fun.
Let's pull back the curtain a little bit. How long does it take to tear things down and make things back the way it used to be? Because it is so elaborate and so impressive. Again, I just can me imagine like an Olympic village. I was down in the Olympics in Sydney, Australia back in 2000, and the Olympic villages were just so impressive. And it just reminds me of like an Olympic village. And it takes so many people working together to put this thing together. I just know it must take some time to just take everything apart and everybody go back home again. That takes a while, doesn't it?
You know, Chris, it does. But one of the things that I like with our organization, we plan all year long.
Yes.
And we are organizing committee. Everyone has set set responsibilities
mm-hmm.
for prior to the event, the day of the event, and post the event too.
Yes.
And we work so well together that after a few hours, everything is back to normal.
That is so, it's like one, two, so, three, you do it. Yes, you do it so often and you plan so well.
Yes. So it takes a lot of efforts. But again, planning is key.
It is very key. Again, we're talking to, I should call you the award-winning now. We're talking to the award-winning from the White House. The President's Volunteer Award, Alejandra Reyes. She's the Media Relations Director for the Marco Polo World Foundation. And we've just been like going crazy over the Dragon Boat Racing Festival that always happens with the kite flying. The whole festivities are outstanding. But there's more that you do. Again, you were touching on it a little bit. Can you talk a little bit about the Global Glamour Extravaganza? I guess it's the Teen and Miss Global Glamour Extravaganza in that particular event. Are you guys still doing that?
Yes, this event takes place every year, and we will be hosting that event August 2nd of 2025.
Mm-hmm.
This is an event to empower youth.
Yes.
You know, and then to display beautiful traditional costumes from their cultural background.
Mm-hmm.
So I extend an invitation to people to, you know, attend some of these events and learn a little more about different cultures. Again, more information can be found on our website, MarcoPoloWorldFoundation.org.
And there's the scholarships as well. Can you talk about how you guys are able to benefit so many kids, you know, in the area with scholarships and what it takes to get those?
You have to fill out an application. The mm-hmm. open enrollment form is on the website. Again, MarcoPoloWorldFoundation.org, and they have to meet a certain criteria. They need to be a kid or a youth that makes a difference in the community,
mm-hmm.
a kid that is a member or that does some type of volunteer work.
Yes.
And then they submit the application, and we usually award these scholarships once a year.
That is fantastic. And, you know, the Asian culture seminars, can you talk about those? Because I think those are also very important because it's all about understanding each other.
Yes, for the Asian culture seminars, this is a program that we have attended, for example, different ISDs.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they say we will be having this type of event and we would like for your organization to attend. So we bring information and different displays of the Asian culture. We bring our mascots. We bring information about the foundation. Depends on what type of activity, you know, they could be from calligraphy, different types of Asian culture-based programs that we can teach as well. And if it is for corporations, like we have attended events at AT&T, their corporate office of AT&T with the Diversity Inclusion Department.
Mm-hmm.
And they set this up through our website as well. They just contact us and then we set up a time. Marco Polo World Foundation is where all details can be found.
You know, I'm staring at your medal, the President's Volunteer Silver Service Medal. I'm looking at it. Where is your medal right now? Do you have it at home or are you at the office with it? I mean, it's very nice medal.
It is a silver medal. I don't have it at home. I think I'm going to frame it.
I need to
find a very nice frame to put my medal.
Yes.
Along with my award.
let me read some more what the letter that came with it from the president said. It says, "The American story depends not only on any one of us, not on some of us, but on all of us. And I congratulate you on taking it upon yourself to contribute to the public good. And I am proud to present you with the President's Silver Volunteer Service Award in recognition of your 250 hours of service to this great nation." That's just part of it. I'm just grinning because I know you and I'm like, you have done all those things and you've been recognized by one of the greatest awards you can get in this country. Alejandra, I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thank you, Chris. I love what I do. What can I say?
Yes.
It's nice. And it's good to make a difference in our community.
It really, really is. And again, it couldn't happen to a nicer person. Can you tell how you first got involved with the Marco Polo World Foundation? Because I think that's a nice story as well.
Chris years ago.
Mm-hmm. About 12 years ago.
More than 12 years.
Yes.
I used to have a radio program that it was just to keep the community informed.
Sure.
And one of the board members was doing an interview at this radio station. So he was interviewing the mayor for Ball Springs mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to introduce himself and he said, Alejandra, good to meet you. I was watching you and I was listening to your interviews and how you would like to keep the community informed, you know, from politics to sports to art and culture mm-hmm. on your program. And he said, I would like to invite you to attend one of our meetings. We are looking for someone that has media experience that can assist us, you know, the day of the festival and prior to the festival to create more exposure for our organization, to help us so we can, you know, create more public knowledge, you know, more awareness of who we are and what we do through various different organizations in the city. And I said, okay, sure, I will attend the meeting. So I attended the first meeting and I got to meet Diana Melan Juan. Mm-hmm. She's the founder of the foundation.
He is greatness.
And a wonderful group of individuals from mm-hmm. different cultural backgrounds, professional backgrounds, Chris. Mm-hmm. And I said, I like this. And I definitely saw the vision on how I could make a difference in by helping. And it's an organization that is very structured. So it doesn't demand a lot of times people wonder, if I'm going to do volunteer work, this is too much time. I keep a very busy schedule. No, because the level of organization we have, we may have meetings, you know, every so often with a very, with an agenda. Mm-hmm. So we are very mindful of people's time as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it just became the perfect setup for me. And ever since I just love it. And I've gotten to meet a lot of amazing individuals and I'm grateful to be part of this group.
It is an exciting group. And again, it's really connected within the communities and it's making sure that the communities are connected with all the different organizations, whether it's you know, educational organizations or public service organizations or first responders or you know even the different city councils or the county officials. And, I mean, North Texas is so fortunate to have an organization like the Marco Polo World Foundation right here because there's so many people moving into this area from all over the country and all over the world. And one of the first organizations they look up is they look up you because – you know, the new people moving in, whatever the company they work for, or whatever organization they're here, the small business is like, okay, I need to go to a chamber of commerce. And one of the first organizations the different chambers of commerce mention is the Marco Polo World Foundation. Isn't it wonderful?
It is. It's actually amazing. And Chris, again, I encourage people, you know, just visit our website, get more information, get to know us, mm-hmm. help us at the organization too, and volunteer. Our website is MarcoPoloWorldFoundation.org, and you will get to meet a lot of unique individuals from different professional backgrounds, and you'll be able to assist us and really make a difference, you know, through all these programs.
It's absolutely amazing. And again, we talked about Diana Wang a little bit. Can you mention again her story? Because if it weren't for her, I mean, this organization probably would happen, but it would be way behind everybody else because she started this thing a long time ago and got the wheels rolling.
You know, Diana is a former, I will say, TV personality from China.
Yeah.
And so this is where her production background comes. So and Diana relocated or has been here in the U.S. for many years. Just like many of us, you know, with international backgrounds. And she had the vision of putting together an organization to showcase the Asian culture. And not just that, but to help people understand one another from different cultural backgrounds. And she started the organization back in 2012.
Yes, she did. And again, I've been involved with it, you know, 8 years, not as many as you, but, you know, here and there. And I'm just so proud of all the things that the Marco Polo World Foundation is all about. I love the arts. I love the fact that the, You bring so many different groups together. Is there one particular moment for you that you said, wow, I cannot believe what we're doing here? Was it the medal from the president, or is it something else that made you say, wow, I cannot believe what we're doing is impacting so many people and so many lives in such a positive way?
You know what I like, Chris, and keep in mind that the day of the festival, you have been there, mm-hmm. So there's not much time to everything happens so fast when we are there.
Yes, crazy. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's like a nonstop.
Nonstop.
But I have to say, I enjoy seeing how all these different individuals, companies, all the people come together one day in unison, and they just enjoy this activity.
Yes.
And at the same time, it's for wellness, for fitness. They are spending time outdoors, and how they're enjoying and admiring all these beautiful performers. And performers, we're talking from Asia to mariachi bands from Latin America to performers from India, from the Middle East. So from all over the world. And these are type of performers that you don't normally see everywhere.
Right.
You probably have to attend a theater. Mm-hmm. You probably have to book a show in order to go see them, but you are able to, if you are there all day, you can see over 110 different performers in one day.
Exactly. And it's all day, and it's outdoors, and it's really, really nice. And we mentioned, like I said, the kite flying. When I brought my kids like 3 or 4 or 5 years in a row, because they just really love mm-hmm. the kite flying, and they really love that petting zoo where you could pet the animals and the pets and stuff.
Yes.
And I mean, you have something for everybody. And it's truly a family event. Again, can I thank you enough for joining us, Alejandra? Alejandra Reyes, she's the Media Relations Director with the Marco Polo World Foundation. And we want to thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. So long, everybody. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.